In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus had just taught the disciples about the church. He had just said that he was going to, through the apostles, establish his church. Just before what we're looking at tonight, Peter had made the great declaration that Jesus Christ was indeed the Son of God. Now, following this great declaration, Matthew writes this in Matthew chapter 16, verses 21 through 27. From that time, Jesus began to show to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things from the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and be raised the third day. So, in these words, Jesus is making very explicit what he is getting ready to do. Now, up until this point, he had alluded to this. He had foreshadowed that he would die, but he hadn't made it obvious. He hadn't stated it clearly. At this point, Jesus stated it very clearly and made it very obvious for the first time in his ministry. In response to this, Peter took Jesus aside and began to rebuke him, saying, "Far be it from you, Lord, this shall not happen to you." But Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." Now, before I comment about this, I want to mention something that I thought of today and remembered from when I was a kid. Perhaps you remember the kids' song, "We're Going on a Bear Hunt." It goes something like this. "We're going on a bear hunt. We're going to catch a big one. What a beautiful day. We're not scared. Uh-huh. Grass. Long, wavy grass. We can't go over it. We can't go under it. Oh, no. We have to go through it." And then it repeats. "We're going on a bear hunt. We're going to catch a big one. What a beautiful day. We're not scared. Uh-huh. A river. A deep, cold river. We can't go over it. We can't go under it. Oh, no. We've got to go through it." Then it continues. "We're going on a bear hunt. We're going to catch a big one. What a beautiful day. We're not scared. Uh-huh. Mud. Thick, oozy mud." And it goes on. It speaks about the big, dark forest and the swirling, whirling snowstorm and so on. And it repeats the words, "We're not scared. Uh-huh. We can't go over it, and we can't go under it." That's what the disciples were facing in Matthew chapter 16. They were following Jesus. They were going to follow him all the way. They were excited. They weren't scared. Uh-huh. Until Jesus spoke about the cross and what he was about to do by dying on the cross. And that's when the disciples had to confront the reality that they couldn't go under it, they couldn't go over it, they couldn't go around the cross. They had to go through it. Christ's suffering was a necessary part of God's plan. And so Jesus said, "I must go to Jerusalem." That word "must" is a very emphatic word. It means he absolutely had to do this. There was no way around it. Up until this point, Jesus had gone to Jerusalem only when he had to, and even then he would do so quietly and secretly. He wouldn't do a lot to draw attention to himself. And if he did draw attention to himself, he would get out of that as quickly and quietly as possible. But now he was going to go to Jerusalem deliberately and publicly, not through a side entrance, but through the main gates of the city. And when he went there, he wasn't going to do what he could to avoid any suffering. No, instead, he said he was going to go there and suffer many things from the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, emphasizing that everyone in the ruling body of Jerusalem would be united in their front against him. And he was going to suffer many things. Of course, we know that he is going to be falsely accused and slapped in the face and have a crown of thorns pressed upon his head. He was going to be whipped and bloodied and beaten. His bones would be battered. He was going to be pierced in his side and hung on a cross and made to carry a cross through the streets of Jerusalem. He was going to be mocked and spit upon, and so many other things were going to happen to him in Jerusalem at the hands of the scribes, the Pharisees, and the elders. He also revealed that he was going to be killed. He was going to die in Jerusalem. And he reveals that he was going to be raised the third day, which is interesting to me. I'll get back to that in just a second. He says, I'm going to Jerusalem. I have to go there now, guys. We're going to make our way there. When I get there, I'm going to suffer many things from the elders, chief priests, and scribes. And at the end of all that suffering, I'm going to be killed. Well, Peter had a few choice words to say. Now, this is so remarkable because just moments before, Peter had recognized that Jesus was the one that had come. He was the centerpiece of God's plan, the most important and significant person in all of history, the very Son of God, the man come from God, who is God, who would come and activate the core elements of God's plan in the world. He had just confessed and announced this. Christ had just announced that upon Peter and his confession of faith, the ministry of the apostles, he was going to build his church for ages to come. Now, perhaps this declaration and this information had given Peter some newfound courage. But when he heard that Jesus was going to Jerusalem and suffer many things, he pulled Jesus aside and began to rebuke him. Can you see this in your mind? Jesus is speaking to the 12 disciples. He says what he says. Then Peter says, come over here, Jesus. Step off to the side with me. And he puts his arm around him, and he quietly and politely, as best as he knows how, begins to correct Jesus and say, far be it from you, Lord. This shall not happen to you. He's letting Jesus know that in his mind, there is no way he's going to let this happen. In case Jesus is afraid, Peter's there for him. On his watch, nothing bad is going to happen to Jesus. Now, at first you might think, well, this is very reassuring. This is very calming. This is a very wonderful thing for Peter to do, to put his neck on the line for Christ. But Jesus turned to Peter and he said, get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men. Again, very fascinating. He says that Peter is an offense to him, which is the word that means stumbling block. Just moments before, he had told Peter he was going to be, and his confession of faith, the rock upon which the church was built. Now he's saying that he is a rock that people will stumble over. In fact, Jesus is saying very specifically that if he actually takes Peter's advice, what he is about to do won't happen, and it must happen. In fact, he feels so strongly about this word that he's getting from Peter, this warning from Peter, that he says, get behind me, Satan, which means go behind me. Basically, get out of my sight. Go away where I can't see you. Satan. This reveals to us how even the best of Christians, those with the greatest, most accurate theology, can sometimes get in the way of what God is doing in the world. very important for us to understand. You may have had a wonderful time with the Lord this morning. You may have read something in Scripture that encouraged your heart and gave you confidence for the day. Maybe God answered your prayer this week. You prayed and He answered, and you're feeling very good about that. That doesn't mean that you haven't varied from the path. Peter had a very bad moment here and was threatening to get in the way of the thing that Christ was about to do, die on the cross for our sins. Can you imagine if Peter had had his way? Can you imagine if he had actually been able to prevent Christ from dying on the cross and suffering? You and I would not have salvation. Imagine what would not happen in God's plan if He actually let us get all of our prayers answered. Let us get out of all the suffering we try to get out of. Imagine that. Well, he says, you are being a satanic influence. Get behind me. Why? Because you are not paying attention to the things of God, but the things of men. You are more interested in me staying alive than you are in me getting done what I need to do for the kingdom of God. Now, at this time, as we remember the passion of Christ, as we think today of the betrayal of Christ by Judas, as we look forward to the crucifixion of Christ that happened on Friday at that time, and celebrating the resurrection this coming Sunday together, let's also think about this. Let's think about the necessity of Christ's suffering. It was a necessary part of God's plan. He had to go to Jerusalem. He had to suffer many things. He had to be killed. And what's fascinating to me is that Jesus didn't just say, I have to go to Jerusalem. I have to suffer many things. I have to be killed. He also said, I have to be raised again the third day. Now put yourself in the shoes of the disciples, or the sandals of the disciples. And you hear Jesus say this. At first you're concerned, then you're worried, then you're deeply agitated when he says, I have to be killed. But then you hear him say, I have to be raised on the third day. Raised on the third day? Well, that's interesting. Now, if you heard Jesus say that, you'd think the disciples wouldn't be worried about him being killed. Because after all, if he's going to resurrect on the third day, that's something. I guess we can put up with him being killed if he's going to resurrect from the grave. But they were so distracted by the fact that he was going to suffer and be killed. I don't know that they heard that part of him being raised the third day. If they did, they didn't think much about it. Well, not only was Christ's suffering a necessary part of God's plan, our suffering is a necessary part of God's plan too. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus is not content just to talk about his own upcoming suffering on the cross. He continues by telling all of his disciples next. In verse 24 of Matthew 16, then Jesus, after he rebuked Peter, said to his disciples, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his own cross, and follow me, for whoever desires to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what profit is it to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? It was important for Jesus at this moment to let his disciples know not only was his death for their sins a vital part of their salvation and God's plan for his kingdom in the world, it was also an example, a pattern for his own disciples to follow. To follow Jesus means that we must follow him through our own suffering. It's not enough for us simply to remember and contemplate the betrayal and death and burial of Christ and to celebrate his resurrection. it is also important for us to embrace the fact that we must also suffer too. Now, we don't try to suffer. We don't look for new and bigger ways to suffer. But we also shouldn't run from suffering when it knocks on life's door. Jesus did not always run to the cross. There were times in his life that people tried to kill him and he would run away or hide and get away from that situation because it wasn't time to suffer yet. But when the time came, he took it. As his followers, we can't go over the cross. We can't go under the cross. We cannot go around the cross. We cannot avoid our own suffering too. And so if we want to follow him, we cannot just follow him to answered prayer. We cannot just follow him to comfortable church gatherings. We cannot just follow him to great times of Bible reading and study, fellowship, and answers to all kinds of prayers. We must also follow him to suffering, through suffering. Jesus says we must deny ourselves, take up our cross to follow him. In fact, if we try to save our life and get away from suffering, if we try to avoid suffering, and if every time that suffering comes, we immediately pray to get out and only get out as quick as possible, he says we actually will lose our life. What does he mean by that? We are going to lose out on what we are here for in the first place. Suffering is a part of that. So he says, whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. When suffering comes your way and you can't go over it and you can't go under it and you can't go around it and you have to go through it with gusto. Go through it with confidence in Christ. You are following him through your suffering as he also suffered. And when you do that, you will find the true value and meaning of your life and be most effective in the kingdom of God. It says, what does it profit to a man if he gains the whole world and loses his own soul? Or what will a man give in exchange for his soul? It matters nothing if you preserve the world's most comfortable existence and you make it to the end of your life having never gotten sick, having never suffered, having never taken a hit or a loss or had a trial of any lengthy period of time, if you can actually find a way to get through life without suffering, what good is that? It's actually through suffering, when God lets it come our way, that deepening happens, strengthening happens, real spiritual growth and progress happens. That's why we have to recognize that not only was Christ's suffering an important, necessary part of God's plan, not only is our suffering also a necessary part of God's plan, we must follow Christ to victory and reward through suffering. Oh, we all like to stay comfortable, don't we? We want life to be normal, to go back to normal as soon as possible. But it says in Matthew 16:27, the Son of Man will come in the future in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he will reward each according to his works. Our reward is not now. Our reward is then, on the other side of our suffering. I want to challenge us with this thought tonight. I want to speak about this as we reflect on the passion of Christ, his upcoming death as we remember that, and celebrate his resurrection on Sunday together. I want us to think about this from this perspective. Compare it to the suffering we're going through right now. We're all suffering together through this COVID-19 pandemic. We're all suffering differently on an individual basis. Some of us have gotten the virus. Some of us are struggling greatly with an experience with a virus. Some of us are not sure if we have the virus. Some of us have close relatives who have the virus. Some of us have relatives who may, might, or have died because of the virus, or we have other people in our lives who have passed away. Some of us are on the front lines, our medical, our MTA personnel. Other people are out there on the front lines of this thing. And many of us are stuck at home. Some of us are set back financially because of this thing. Some of us are struggling with loneliness, possible depression during this time. This is no fun. And then as we talked about last Wednesday, we can't look for hope at the next press conference. There's really no light at the end of the tunnel. We don't know how long this is going to go. And even when it does end, whatever that means, we don't know what the new normal is going to be, do we? This is a situation in which we are very tempted to simply and only want to go around, under, or over this suffering. We want to get out of it as quickly as possible so we can just go back to life as normal. But before that happens, we have to be challenged to take a deeper look at our theology, our understanding of the place of suffering in the kingdom of God. It's not just an evil thing that we have to get rid of like a hot potato every time it happens. Suffering is a valuable experience. And let me tell you, this pandemic is not something we can avoid. It's affecting all of us. So we better figure out how to handle it with the fortitude of Christ. We need to stare at this moment as long as it lasts, as Christ looked at the cross. We must go through it. We must go through it. And whatever that means for each one of us, yes, pray for healing. Pray for healing for your loved ones. But don't pray for healing in such a way that conveys you can't tolerate suffering. You have no place for suffering in your life. Suffering has to go, because sometimes suffering needs to stay and do something significant in our lives. We can't pretend and say this is a great time. It's suffering. Suffering is never easy, but it is significant. Because true victory and true reward is on the other side. The other side. I wish I could sit here tonight and share with us as a church, I know when this is going to end. I wish I could share with us a verse that I found somewhere in the Bible that if you pray it, will make it go away. I wish there was some way we could make that happen and speed it up. I wish there was a way I could guarantee you that if we just prayed hard enough, everyone that we know who struggles with this will come out good. I can't tell you those things. But what I can tell you is suffering, even what we're going through, and it's not as bad as the cross and the suffering that Christ experienced, is not all bad. It's an experience through which we must go. And if we follow Christ through it, we will follow him through to victory and reward. There is coming a day when he is going to return in the glory of his Father with his angels, and he will not suffer then. He will reward us. He will give us a place in his eternal kingdom. He will destroy all evil in the world and banish death forever. There will be no more pain, no more sorrow, no more sickness, no more death, no more sin or wickedness or sorrow or sadness or illness of any kind. That day is coming. And no matter how long this pandemic lasts, no matter what the outcomes are, I say this with all the soberness in my heart that I know how to muster. This is not trite when I say it. It will be worth it all, and it will pale in significance. to each of those in our church and to anyone listening to this study tonight who is suffering through this pandemic in excruciating ways. Let me encourage you, as you suffer, make sure of two things. One, that you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. He suffered on the cross and rose from the grave to remove your penalty of sin, to take away the threat of death once and for all for you. He died in your place. He suffered in your place and rose again in your place. And if you put your trust in Jesus Christ alone as your God and Savior, whatever happens in this pandemic to you, you will come out on the other side, not just of the pandemic, not just of this life, but of eternity in total deliverance and victory, peace and life everlasting. But if you do know Jesus Christ as your Savior and you are suffering through this virus somehow or another, let me encourage you, follow Christ through the suffering. Depend on Christ and realize that He understands. He has suffered greater than you, and He is calling you to follow Him through your own cross right now. Deepen your perspective of suffering. Follow Christ through suffering to everlasting victory and reward. Yes, pray for healing. Yes, pray for the healing of our loved ones. Pray for the ending of this pandemic. But don't miss the opportunity. If Christ had left his mission and done what one of his followers prayed and told him to do, get away, don't do it, we would never have been saved. What won't happen in God's plan if we refuse to suffer? If we refuse to follow Him through this suffering right now, what will not happen? There are ways that God wants to use some of us who've gone into hospitals, who work in hospitals, who have been patients in hospitals. There are co-workers, there are friends, there are neighbors, family members, relatives. How we handle this pandemic matters. Let's follow Christ through it. And let's look forward to our rewards on the other side. So as we celebrate the resurrection this Sunday and remember the death of Christ, let's also remember the value of suffering and how we must follow Christ through it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your greatest sacrifice through Jesus Christ. Thank you that Jesus, you did not listen to your own disciple. You did not abandon your own suffering, but you embraced it. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Jesus Christ, for doing that for us. Now, as we face our own suffering this time, as we go through this virus breakout, help us, Father, to follow our Savior through this experience, to embrace it, to depend on Him through it, and to deepen our view of the value of suffering for the very kingdom of God. And may you give us the hope in knowing that victory and eternal reward are on the other side. And no matter how long this goes and how hard it gets, it will pale in comparison to the reward that we receive in eternity if we will suffer with Jesus. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I hope that was an encouragement to you. I hope that really helped you tonight to face this pandemic for the glory of God. Does anyone have any feedback or thoughts to share? I see that you have been leaving some things here. I'm going to look back at some of that tonight. Let's not avoid the suffering that God has for us through this time. Let's not miss this opportunity. And of course, the Easter week, Passion Week, gives us a great opportunity to put all of this together in our minds as we remember the suffering of Christ and how he didn't go away from it. He went through it for us. We're going to try to Skype here and switch over to Vlad. After this song, we're going to sing Day by Day together. After this song, I've got a few important announcements before we break up and pray in our homes. Let's see how this works.
Thank you for tuning in to the preaching ministry of Faith Baptist Church. We are conveniently located in Corona, New York City, and are devoted to loving God and making disciples. For more resources and helpful information about our church, visit studygodsword.com. We'd also like to extend a personal invitation for you and your family to join us on Sundays at 9:30 in the morning for a time of interactive Bible study for young people and adults, followed by an 11 o'clock worship and preaching service. If you have young children, they will really enjoy our exciting Bible-based children's ministries in both the morning Bible study hour and worship service. If you have any questions about the church or would like to learn how to have a personal relationship with God, please give us a call or leave some feedback at studygodsword.com. We would be thrilled to meet you in person and show you firsthand what God is doing at Faith Baptist Church. Until next time, may God richly bless you.